Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Show. I'm Quint Berry. I'm here with Beck Dovell and Emily Johnson. Our guest today is Adam Weissman. He's an activist in New York. I think Adam's from New York. I'm not quite sure. Adam, is that you on the anonymous? If I got you in there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah.
Very well.
You sound great. Yeah. Hi. Hearty welcome to you, Adam.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Very glad to join you this evening. And
yeah, this is Jack Dodell in Minneapolis, along with Gwen Berry down in Florida, and F. Wayne Johnson in Columbus, Ohio.
Right, very good.
I'm very glad to be with you. Hope we can help your listeners tonight understand the pending, upcoming threat of fast track and why this is something we all need to stand against, why people all across the political spectrum need to recognize that this is something we need to unite to, or at least all of us in our respective positions need to fight against, because it threatens all of our interests.
Yeah, you're preaching
absolutely
to the choir here, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Great.
I was just telling Jack and Gwen, I'd sent them right before the show. Basically, I got off of Facebook, but it said, you know, both parties are going to continue wars. Both parties are going to have the war on drugs. Both parties are owned by the corporations and the banks. And they both are just really going to keep those kind of interests going. And the only ones that are going to suffer is your working middle class population in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We are being screwed at every turn. And what we're talking about, too, was the song Steppenwolf Monster back in 1969 called that shot.
Wayne, I'd like to give folks an idea of who Adam is. He's an organizer with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment, or the GJAE. He's an organization addressing the threat posed by free trade agreements to animals, the environment, safe, ethical, and sustainable food, and the human rights of environmental defenders. He also represents this group in Trade Justice New York Metro, a coalition of organizers from diverse social movements working together to resist NAFTA and neoliberal free trade model. Is that got it good, Adam? Adam? Hello? Anybody
here?
Oh, my.
No. Adam, are you there? He's hooked in. I've got him on here, but I can't.
He's having a little trouble hearing, though.
He's having a little trouble hearing.
I hear him. Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can. I'm going to see if I can raise my volume so I can hear you a little better, but I'm glad you can hear me. So, yes, I did hear the introduction, but I didn't hear, was there a question? Or?
Yeah, I asked if that was basically a good introduction to who you are and what you're doing. Why don't you go ahead and let us know right now what's going on in your world right now with TPP and getting it stopped?
Great. So the key fight right now, just first of all, a little background for people who may not be familiar with TPP. TPP is a free trade agreement. Well, it's called a trade agreement that is currently under negotiations. It's going to be a sixth year of negotiations. The Obama administration, which in contradiction to President Obama's campaign pledges to break with the NAFTA free trade model and push a model of international trade policy that would advance the interests of working people and the environment, As a president, Obama did a complete 180 from those pledges and is now working on a massive NAFTA expansion agreement, the TPP. TPP includes all of the NAFTA countries. It also includes 9 other countries. Together, those countries account for 40% of the global economy. The largest economy other than the U.S. in TPP is Japan, but it also includes all the NAFTA countries, U.S., Canada, Mexico, Peru, Chile, Australia, and then and then other countries, and then countries, so in the Western Hemisphere, and then in the Asia-Pacific region, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, Jerusalem, and Japan, and also Vietnam. And so this agreement is really a complete betrayal of the principles that Obama said that he would champion as a president. This is the he is now trying to market this agreement, which is still under negotiation, as the most progressive trade deal in history. Nothing could be further from the truth. This
right.
This agreement is actually a step backwards in many uh-huh. regards from the agreements that were negotiated by the Bush administration in terms of things like protection of labor rights, environmental protection, and protection of access to medicine. The Bush trade agreements, as a compromise with Democrats, were revised and passed under starting with the Peru Free Trade Agreement, were revised to include something called the May 10th Bipartisan Agreement on Trade, which, far from being sufficient, did, though, include some protections for defending access to medicines against attacks through corporate intellectual property rights built into these trade agreements, did include some environmental safeguards, and did include some labor rights provisions. The Obama administration has pretty much thrown those things out the window to the point where Sandy Levin, the ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee, is directly saying that, despite Obama's claims, this is not the most progressive trade agreement in history, and in fact falls short of many of these previous trade agreements coming out of the Bush administration.
Yeah.
So President Obama, despite concerns from members of Congress about the secrecy in the negotiating process around these agreements, in contrast to past trade agreements, these agreements are being negotiated completely in secret. We the people cannot read the negotiating text of these agreements. Members of Congress, if they want to read them, and this is even a reform, from before where they had even more limited access, members of Congress, if they want to see the negotiating text of these agreements, have to go into a room behind a closed door with a member of the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, or representative of the U.S. Trade Representative, basically staring at them as they page through these documents, these voluminous trade documents. They're not allowed to take notes. They're not allowed to make copies of pages. Any staff that access these documents need national security clearance. And let's be clear here. We're not talking about nuclear bomb secrets. We're not talking
right.
about lists of CIA agents. We're talking about what's supposed to be a trade agreement. So the fact that this is being classified as a matter of national security, we're not talking about trade in ICBMs. We're talking about commodities trade. At least that's what they tell us this is about. In reality, only 5 of the 29 chapters of TPP are actually about the things that we tend to think of as the sort of things that go in a trade agreement, things like lowering tariffs, things like eliminating quotas. What the rest of this agreement is actually about are things like expanding corporate intellectual property rights,
mm-hmm.
creating new rights for corporate investors, and really the whole thing is a goodie bag of kind of a corporate wish list of everything companies like Monsanto and Halliburton and Chevron and Goldman Sachs could ever dream of. And when I say that's not an exaggeration. That's not really an exaggeration. Mm-hmm.
Adam, yes. What you're talking about is, especially with the secrecy of what is contained in a piece of legislation that even the signers of the legislation have no true idea of what the extent is. You're really, what we're talking about here is a way for corporate profiteering to plunder the resources of the global community
yeah.
with impunity. Isn't that what the basic missile of this is?
You're absolutely right. This TPP has been described as a backroom deal for the 1%. This
uh-huh.
is a trade. It's been described as a Trojan horse trade deal, and
yeah.
what they mean is that what they pack into this trade agreement are all the terrible policies that undermine hard-fought victories in terms of public interest legislation and attack public interest policies in ways that could never be passed through a more public process of passing a law. And I'll give you a clear example of that. There's you may have heard of the Stop Online Piracy Act, and some of your listeners may have heard of this. If people remember the black bar that went across Google and this big controversy about this internet-killing legislation in the
right.
interest of protecting intellectual property of the software industry and other content providers whose content is on the internet, these draconian rules that would crack down on everyday internet use And well, what they just, since that went over like a lead balloon, what they basically did is they tucked SOFA-like rules into TPP, where no one's going to see them and no one's going to know about them. First of all, because it's tucked into a massive trade agreement where no one expects to look for it. Second of all, because trade agreements sound boring. Third of all, because the corporate media completely covers up this issue. There have been repeated studies by Media Matters for America that find again and again that the broadcast corporate media completely ignores this issue.
Exactly.
It's not an exaggeration. It doesn't mean that they don't talk about it enough. It means that literally they don't talk about it at all.
Right.
CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox News, none of those networks even mention this agreement. It's gotten a mention on the McNeil-Lehrer, well, it's no longer what used to be the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour, but is now the PBS NewsHour. Moyers and Company, when that show was on, did talk about this issue on PBS. On MSNBC, The Ed Show, Ed Schultz's program, has done a marvelous job of covering this issue. But these are voices in the wilderness of media silence. And the corporate, and the reason why this is not just because the media didn't decide this isn't an interesting issue. We have to follow the money and follow who ultimately owns these media corporations. The CNN, Time Magazine, these are Time Warner companies. And Time Warner is one of the members of the U.S. Business Coalition for TPP. So how can we expect them to objectively report on, let alone report on at all, a piece of legislation they're actively lobbying in support of? News Corp, which owns Fox News and the New York Post and many other media outlets, is also a member of this business coalition. Viacom is a member of this coalition. And keep in mind, a lot of these companies are invested in many forms of content creation, and they're exactly the kind of companies that want these kind of extreme intellectual property rules that criminalize, where, you know, if a teenager decides to watch a movie on a website that where it is not copyrighted, which doesn't have the intellectual property right to provide that material, where that can be treated as a criminal act, where if someone downloads a recipe that they buy a recipe and then email it to a few people, that can be prosecuted criminally. Essentially, this agreement would turn your internet provider into an internet cop policing your internet use with potential criminal penalties.
Right.
And so that's the kind of thing that could never pass through a normal legal process. I mean, through the normal process of passing laws. But when you A, build it into a secretly negotiated trade agreement, even though it has nothing to do with trade, B, have the media cover it up, C, railroad it through Congress through what's called fast track authority. People never know what hit them. And the way fast track works, an important thing to understand. Well, before we get to fast track, one other thing that I want to mention. I was talking about the corporations who are really behind this thing, the Citigroups and the Monsantos and the Bank of Americas and the Pfizers and the Halliburtons and so on. These corporations are, when I say that they are,
Oh, damn.
Oh, we lost them again.
Yeah.
Adam, are you there?
They're what are called industry trade advisory committees. These are formal bodies that are that are intended to advise the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, the people who actually negotiate these agreements on behalf of the U.S. These are the people who, unlike you and me, who, unlike our members of Congress, actually have full access to the negotiating text relevant to the chapters that relate to their area of interest.
Right.
And so these advisors, there are 600 of them, just over 600, over 500 of those advisors are corporate representatives and representatives of industry lobby groups. Then a tiny percentage of them are representatives of environmental groups, a state legislator here or there, an academic. But those are a drop in the bucket compared to the vast majority of these advisors, which are people like the representative for CropLife, which is the industry group for companies like Monsanto. From the direct representatives of the big corporations. So the people who have the ear of the advisors are the representatives of the big corporations, and the people doing the negotiations are themselves people who either come out of some of the worst corporations in the world or want to get jobs with them. And I'll give you two examples of that. One is that President Obama...
Adam, I have a question. Don't forget what you were going to say, but I have a question here. What prohibits because there's been a question brought up in the chat room, not a question, but a statement, that it's too bad we don't have a senator that will read the TPP contents into the congressional record like the Pentagon Papers were in 71. What is basically stopping that? Why is this not being, why is this unable to be done? What's the stopgap there? That it's national security?
That's correct. These are classified as national security documents. So a senator who chose to release those texts would be essentially releasing a state secret and could be prosecuted for that. What actually has happened, though, is there have been leaked texts from the negotiation, leaked by WikiLeaks and others. And that's largely how we know what is in this agreement, not because our government has been forthright about what's in it. The Obama administration claims that this is a transparent negotiation, and Obama puts on this mock puzzlement when people like Elizabeth Warren talk about the lack of transparency in this negotiation. Well, the reality is the only reason we have any clue what's in this thing, partly is by people actually talking to the negotiators, partly by vague language that is released by the administration, partly by the fact that they've told us that this is modeled on the terrible U.S.-South Korea Free Trade Agreement, which since it was signed into law in 2011 has already cost the U.S. 85,000 jobs. That's something we should model a trade agreement on with 40% of the global economy? But the other piece, and the most significant piece, is the leaks that have come out through WikiLeaks and other sources. Congressman, there are members of Congress who've expressed great frustration about the fact that even when they can read these documents, and essentially what they can read in a room while being stared at with no notes, they're sworn to secrecy about what they're actually seeing there. They can't tell us what they see. Congressman Alan Grayson has said that, from what I've seen, this is a punch in the face to the American middle class, but I'm not allowed to tell you why.
Right.
So our legislators are being prevented by President Obama from telling us what's in this agreement.
Adam, if I could just interrupt for just a moment. One of the reasons that Obama is so insistent on doing this is not only because he's been turned into a corporate dupe, but he thinks in his mind that he's going to somehow blunt China's role in the world economy by signing this big agreement is a countervailing move to keep China from getting any more powerful economically. That is so stupid. I've never heard of anything so dumb in my life. It can't happen. It won't happen.
Well, and we know from history that strategy doesn't work, because we've heard this song before. We've heard this song before from Bill Clinton in the late 90s. When when permanent normalization of trade relations with China was going to be this great economic opportunity for the U.S., and that which paved the way for China joining the WTO, well, what did that do? That led to 2.7 million U.S. jobs being lost. We already know that President Obama lacks the judgment to prevent us from entering into job-killing trade agreements thanks to the Korea FTA, and so now we're supposed to trust him when he says that repeating our mistake with China is a good idea?
No, he's overmatched, and he's bought out by Wall Street lawyers that are bankers that are forcing him in the direction of going this way, and he just doesn't have the grasp on what he needs to deal with this stuff.
Well, it costs a lot of money to get elected twice president of the United States, and frankly, I think I'm of the opinion that, and this is just my personal opinion, not an organizational statement or anything, but I'm of the opinion that money in politics is a very effective vetting system for people who are going to walk the line for corporations. And
that
the corporations will make sure with their money that anyone who's not willing to play the game will never be elected president. And
right.
So President Obama had to be made in order for him to be elected president. And the corporations have now called in the chips. And he's basically using all the credibility he's built to sell this deal that's going to undermine every goal that he claims to have fought for. I mean, he says he's working to fight climate change. TPP will actually give corporations the power to sue our government in international tribunals outside the jurisdiction of our court system.
You might as well do away with the government because they have no power anymore. It's become totally corporate rule, domination for 40% of the world's economy and more. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, and we've got to stop it.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right. And we should also be aware that TPP is, they say bad things come in threes. Well, if there ever was an example of that, it's the Obama trade policies, because not only – well, first of all, in 2011, we got the gift of the the South Korea, Colombia, and Panama Free Trade Agreements. Each one of which you can say was worse than the last one. Panama helped lock in – the Panama Agreement helped lock in banking secrecy and became a great – and helped lock in Panama as a corporate tax haven and a way for billionaires to stash money overseas. Oh, and by the way, a very convenient place for the Colombian drug cartels to launder their money just north of the border. Panama borders Colombia, and so it became a very great way for Colombian drug cartels to hide money. And then the Colombia agreement was a trade agreement with the country with the worst human rights record in the Western Hemisphere, largest rate of internal displacement in the world, with over 3,000 union organizers, about 3,000 union organizers killed since the 80s, and just human rights, horrible human rights record. And many people said this trade agreement would only exacerbate that, further undermine labor rights in Colombia. President Obama said those things when he was a candidate, but changed his tune when he was president and put a Band-Aid labor action plan as a side agreement on the agreement, which did very little, and then moved ahead with this trade agreement, which only locked in human rights abuses. The Korea agreement, the Economic Policy Institute estimated would kill 159,000 U.S. jobs, and we've already seen it kill 85,000 in this few years since it's been implemented. Keep in mind, these were only signed in 2011. Well, bad things come in threes, part two. We have TPP, but we're also negotiating the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, an agreement between the U.S. and the entire European Union, which is really about the U.S. Big food, the factory farm corporations, deciding that Europe doesn't torture animals enough for our liking, that the fact that Europe doesn't want meat from animals tortured as much as the ones we do in the United States is unacceptable. So rather than raising our standards to better protect animal welfare, they want the big meat industry wants Europe to lower their standards to accept our products. And that also goes for food safety rules, labeling of genetically modified foods, all these high standards that Europe has achieved, big food wants to knock down so our products can enter their market. The flip side is that as a result of the financial crisis, we've actually passed stronger rules around regulating the financial industry, and European corporations don't like that too much. So they want to knock down our stronger financial rules. And really, so they use the term harmonization to describe this whole idea of creating a flat set of rules to promote trade both ways. But a more accurate term for it is race to the bottom, the lowest standards across the board for the benefit of corporations at the expense of democracy and public interest policies.
Right.
The third of these agreements, the Trade and Services Agreement, this is an agreement really being pushed by the financial industry. It's an agreement with over 50 countries, about 50 countries involved. Really, the extreme deregulation of the financial industry that they couldn't get through the World Trade Organization, a bunch of the countries involved said, well, let's just do that on the side. And so that's the Trade and Services Agreement. So these three agreements are all being negotiated in secret by the Obama administration, and we're just supposed to trust Obama that these are a great idea, despite the fact that his own record on trade policy is terrible. And what's worse, he's asking Congress, sight unseen, with the negotiations not completed on these agreements. Second of all, with the agreements, with Congress having this very limited access to the agreements, he's asking them to give him fast track authority. Fast track authority would mean that when Congress voted on these agreements, they would do it under a very highly restricted set of rules that required Congress to vote on the agreements in the House within 60 days of the agreement being sent to Congress by the president, 90 days within after the agreements are sent to the House. They would be prevented from in any way amending the language of these agreements.
Right.
They would be limited to 20 hours of floor debate, meaning that once the clock starts ticking, they're when 20 hours pass, 20 hours of real time, not 20 hours of debate time, when 20 hours have passed, they are no longer allowed to debate this legislation.
That's
Congressman Alan
Grayson
has said that for every member of Congress, that means if everyone in Congress, I mean, not that necessarily going to happen, but if every member of Congress wanted to testify, they would each get 88 seconds. Now, why would you do that with a piece of legislation? Well, let's say the U.S. was being bombed by another country. Well, I mean, that's addressed. I mean, the president is allowed to take certain military actions prior to the War Powers Act. So, I mean, you have to think of what kind of emergency circumstance would say that we would limit Congress to 20 hours of debate. There's only one reason you would do something like that, which is when you're trying to railroad something through Congress without the public being able to raise enough of an outcry to stop it. When you're trying to make legislation into effect all complete, with the administration teaming up with the lobbyists to push bad bills through Congress and try to shut the public out of the process and lock Congress into line. And so fast track authority goes back to the Nixon administration. It's been expired since 2007. It was actually used for the agreements that the Obama administration passed signed in 2011, but that was because they were initially negotiated when Fast Track was in effect. Obama wants Fast Track again. Most presidents go get Fast Track and then negotiate trade agreements. Obama, in his eternal arrogance, decided to first negotiate a trade agreement. Then at the at the point when they're saying the agreement is almost, the negotiation is almost completed, go to Congress and say to Congress, okay, give me Fast Track now. Give me this authority so that I can tie your arms behind your back and how you deal with this legislation. And by doing that, that'll put you in charge. Well, that's a load of, excuse my language, it's a load of crap. Because there is something that already puts Congress in charge, and that's called the Constitution.
Right.
Adam, that's true. Adam, I have a question for you, though. What about what can put a monkey wrench into it is requiring Malaysia to come into compliance with human trafficking rules. And everything that's come out in the last 24 hours about them being out of compliance according to the human trafficking rules, is this going to slow the resolution of the trade fight in Congress at all?
One of the most outrageous things about this whole situation, now, literally just within the last week, there have been new revelations of mass graves in Malaysia directly tied to human trafficking. Hundreds of people been found killed as a result of this country that has not done enough to address this human rights atrocity. Malaysia is a Category 3 nation on the list of countries that are seen as problematical regarding failing to address human trafficking, according to the State Department. This is, and so this amendment was authored by Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey. Unfortunately, he cut a deal with Ron Wyden, the senator from Oregon, to water down the amendment, which would have said that Fast Track cannot be applied to any agreement with a country that is one of these problem countries on human trafficking. The good yet ironic thing that happened was that Mitch McConnell kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit, because they actually tried to short-circuit the amendment process on this legislation so that they could rush the legislation through before Memorial Day weekend. And so one of the things and then Rand Paul cut into their time for debating and passing amendments with his pseudo filibuster on the Patriot Act. And so what happened was, left with very little time, they took a vote to cut off the amendments and debate. Well, what actually happened was, the original version of that amendment, the strong version, was left in at the time they did that, and they never replaced it with the weaker version of the amendment. So what came out of the Senate was actually strong language on addressing human trafficking and preventing a trade agreement with a country, Fast Track being applied to a trade agreement with a country that is on this human trafficking list. So now what President Obama, outrageously, along with Paul Ryan, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, are doing is trying to keep that language out of the House version of the bill, and so that they can, I guess, conference it away after the House version is passed. So a key part of our fight right now is to say, yes, we oppose Fast Track, but we also want to see this amendment kept in Fast Track, so that if Fast Track passes, basically this poison pill is built into it. And that's important, first of all, because this thing is terrible and there should be a poison pill. But second of all, because it is outrageous that we should not be saying that we should not be passing free trade agreements with countries that are not addressing human trafficking. Potentially, an agreement like TPP could prevent us from applying international sanctions as a policy tool to pressure countries to address human rights issues. That's also a concern that's been raised around Brunei, which is a country that has instituted an extreme form of Sharia law that is seriously cracking down on the rights of women, LGBT community, and Christians. And so we're taking away the tools that we can use to take action for human rights. And another issue is that Senator Marilyn Chase, the state senator from Washington, has said that the language on movement of human persons in TPP could actually potentially exacerbate human trafficking. So the fact that the Obama administration is trying to strip away this language in the interest of railroading through this bad trade deal is just indicative of how much more important corporate profits are to this administration than human rights.
Right. So, it's terrible.
But the thing with Fast Track is, if Fast Track happens, now they're trying to say that, well, we created a new version of Fast Track. This is better Fast Track. And so they're saying, well, we built in a 60-day waiting period between when the legislation is the legislation has to be released to the public 60 days before the clock starts ticking in terms of Congress being forced to vote on it. Well, that's nice, but respectfully, so what? You've already locked everyone out during the negotiating process, and it can't be amended. It's a done deal. We know that every trade agreement that has ever in history been sent to Congress under fast track is passed. They do what they can to get those votes. In 2005, when the Central America Free Trade Agreement went before Congress and they actually didn't have the votes to pass it, what they did was they extended the vote by 45 minutes, and then Dick Cheney went in, and the famous line was break arms and twist arms until they shatter. Something like that, and basically, they made every threat, every bribe to every member about, you know, we'll cut funds from your reelection. We won't send this, we'll cut this pork program to your state. Whatever level of horse trading, threatening, or bribing they could do to get the votes. So we know that fast track is the way that bad trade agreements are forced through Congress, and that Congress has turned into a rubber stamp. So giving us an extra 60 days to see it is basically like just watching a car crash in slow motion. It doesn't stop the crash. But if we don't pass fast track, what happens then is that the entire process of finishing the TPP negotiations may be potentially derailed. Because the other countries are flat out saying they're not going to close this deal without fast track. Because without fast track, the agreement could go back to Congress, and Congress could pass amendments that could turn over the apple cart. They could be forced to go back and renegotiate aspects of these agreements. If Congress said, no, we're not going to create a system of international tribunals that attack U.S. sovereignty and allow foreign corporations to attack our laws in international tribunals where they can demand monetary compensation when they claim that our laws interfere with their lost potential future profits, meaning not their investments, but the money they think they could have made if we hadn't passed the law.
Yeah, and who's the police that? Who's the police that? I mean, that is so bogus. I can't even imagine somebody ever going for that. But people are going to do it, and they're going to be forced to do it by the powers that be, and that's why we've got to stop this.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that people can do, because I imagine by this point people are their knuckles are probably getting white and they're probably tearing their hair out. So I really want to let people know, this is as bad as this sounds. The good news is that the fact that we can do something about this, and we already have.
Right.
The fact that they took this vote in the Senate before the House, it's pretty clear under constitutional law that this legislation is supposed to start in the House, not in the Senate. Trade legislation is supposed to come out of the House. The reason they started it in the Senate using some procedural trickery is because they don't have the votes in the House. So as a matter of sheer embarrassment,
right,
they wanted to start this in the Senate so that they could get some momentum and then say to the House, you know, this already went through the Senate. Now you guys should pass it. So we've done our job in terms of making it painful for legislators to come out in support of this policy. They're hearing from the Chamber of Commerce. They're hearing from the Exxons and the Monsantos and the Halliburtons and all the corporations who benefit from these kind of trade deals. But they're also hearing from the unions and the environmentalists and the Tea Party. They're hearing from the Access to Medicines activists and the AIDS activists. And they're hearing from the food justice activists. And they're also hearing from the
E-Work
Forum and the John Birch Society. So people across the political spectrum have been raising hell, because people recognize that this is a fundamental attack on national
sovereignty. There's been widespread opposition to this, and it's got to continue, and it's got to gain strength rather than recede. It's got to gain strength. We've got to defeat this totally. We've got to totally eradicate it.
Absolutely. And one thing that we can do in the coming week, Wednesday, June 3rd, is a national call-in day to stop fast track. The House
Call
is going
Congress?
Back in session, and we know that Obama and Ryan are going to do everything they can to pull a Dick Cheney and bribe and threaten until they get those votes. When President Obama was trying to get the Senate votes on fast track, he was doing everything from giving people flights on Air Force One to inviting them to state dinners if they betrayed the Democratic Party, which is largely against this, and came out in support of fast track. So that pressure is just going to be ramped up on the House side. People can go to clicktocallcongress.org to find out who represents you in Congress and how to contact them. Again, that's clicktocallcongress.org, or just call 718-218-4523. And the message is simple: no fast track, no way, under any circumstances. Fast track is also called trade promotion authority. So if anyone tells you they don't know what fast track is, they're not going to say that. But if they do, you can say trade promotion authority. Now, some of them may say, well, it matters. It depends on what amendments are considered, what the final package looks like, and what gets added to it, and how much funding there is for retraining of workers who get screwed by these trade agreements. And they actually built in, the Democrats insisted, into the Senate fast track version, kind of a consolation prize called Trade Adjustment Assistant.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Job retraining for workers who lose their jobs as a result of outsourcing of jobs from free trade. So basically it's saying, you know, yeah, sorry you lost your job. Here's some money to get retrained so maybe you can find another job. Good luck with that. That is
Exactly. Good point.
Band-aid on cancer.
This has got to be stopped. The whole thing's got
to
be stopped.
We need to hear from when our Congress members tell us, you know, we're waiting to hear see what the final legislation looks like, that is a totally unacceptable answer. The only right answer is no fast track, no way, period, and they should have already announced
their TPP
on the issue. That's right.
No fast track, no TPP.
No TTIP, no TISA, none of these agreements. And one thing that we also need to understand about fast track is that it goes on for 6 years.
6 years.
Which means that let's say people think President Obama is, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, we can trust President Obama. He's a president for the people. If you still believe that, you know, I'm in New York City right now, so we have a bridge on sale that I might want to interest you in. But that aside, if you really think Obama is so wonderful, you know, how do you feel about President Ted Cruz's trade agreement or Rand Paul's trade agreement?
Well, one of the reasons Mitch McConnell is so in favor of this, Adam, or one of the reasons that Mitch McConnell is very much in favor of this and is trying to do everything he can to get it to pass, and he was very successful in the Senate, is because he's anticipating that the Republicans will win control of the White House and that he will be able to steamroll stuff, whatever he wants, all throughout Congress. That's why we've got to stop this completely.
Hey.
Did you hear that, Adam?
Yes. Yeah, I'm hearing a little echo, but and that's absolutely right. And the absurd thing is that President Obama has said outright Mitch McConnell has, what you just said, Mitch McConnell has been very candid about that. I mean, he's come right out and said that. So we have the absurd spectacle of a Democratic president collaborating with a Republican Senate majority leader, saying that he's doing this so that he can give power to the next Republican president, and this Democratic president going against the majority of his party in both houses, blatantly insulting one of his own senators, Elizabeth Warren, while having Mitch McConnell talk about how working with Obama on this issue has been an out-of-body experience, and praising Obama's work on this issue, and Paul Ryan and Obama being written up as sort of the new buddies, these new great collaborators.
Oh,
so
what a horror.
President Obama is the best Republican, you know, is the best Republican president in recent memory as far as the corporate wing of the Republican Party is concerned.
That's right.
The grassroots Tea Party Republicans, who are not necessarily always in line with narrow corporate interests when they see it as pushing in the direction of crony capitalism and against constitutional law, don't like that. And that's why many House Republicans are actually aligned with the Democrats on this.
Right,
but,
exactly.
President Obama is a great corporate Republican president, and he's
happy to find a collaborator in
Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. And it really goes to show you that the corporate wing of both of these parties are really pushing the same agenda. I mean, thankfully, we do have some members of Congress who actually care about things like, well, being reelected by their voters, and who are not totally confident that they can go on corporate money alone and get reelected. And we're elected by, in part, grassroots movements and unions, and are answerable to those constituencies. So we all, on the right and the left, in the grassroots, have done our jobs with those legislators, and it's just a matter now of holding the line. Because the longer we stretch it out, well, President Obama and these members of Congress know that the public does not want to pass these, does not think these trade agreements are a good idea, that whenever anyone hears about these things, no one likes them. So they want to rush this thing through the summer. They don't want to do it for months. The closer this gets to an election, the harder it's going to be to move. And we've already seen that in the positions that the Republican presidential candidates are taking. Bobby Jindal has come out against Fast Track. Chris Christie has come out against Fast Track. Carly Fiorina against Fast Track. Mike Huckabee against Fast Track. Rand Paul against Fast Track, though that didn't stop him from voting for cloture in the Senate, so he had to answer for that. So he did vote against Fast Track in the final vote. Lindsey Graham also said he was against Fast Track, and then he got bought and switched his vote. But Bernie Sanders against Fast Track. So the number who haven't taken a position on this is really shrinking. Jeb Bush is trying to needle Hillary Clinton on it and saying that she should be moving it. Hillary Clinton has been hedging about taking a position because Hillary Clinton obviously, you know, will do whatever Goldman Sachs and Monsanto tells her to do on this.
Sure.
But she can't say that when she wants to get union endorsements going into a primary. And if you really want to know,
she's walking a tightrope. But, you know, it's a bad move. It's a bad move any way you look at it. And regardless of who's for it, anybody who's for it is against all of us. And keep that in mind, people. If you're a working person in this country, if you're on disability, if you're compromised in any way, if you're lower income, you're middle income, this is a bad deal for you. It's only good for the wealthiest 1% of 1% of this country internationally. It's just a terrible, horrible arrangement. We've got to defeat it completely.
Well, Jack, you know, I've said that for many, many weeks in line. There is a severe attack on the working and middle class in this country, and it's all being done behind the curtains. You know, don't look behind the curtain, right? But they'll keep us fighting amongst ourselves on, like, the non-issues of, like, war on Christmas, that kind of crap.
Yeah, right.
That's the most important marriage.
We have a caller online. I'm going to open up the microphone and ask them if they want to ask a question or what, or contribute. Well, I just lost the caller. Okay, never mind. Sorry about
call
that.
Call back.
That's absolutely. Wait, please call back. We do want to hear from.
Yeah, we have one other caller that's been waiting for quite a while. I'm going to open the line. Sometimes people call in merely to listen in. But 303 area code, are you there? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello, you're a little
hi,
loud.
Hi, this is April.
Hi, April.
Hi, you guys just kind of answered my question earlier. I am just kind of listening in, but I had a question kind of like, what is the timetable for this kind of thing? What is something that I can do more than just call and, like, put it all over my Facebook posts?
Tell your friends. Everybody you come in contact with, tell them about how bad this is, what it means to them bad, and why it's a disaster to have it pass, and why we must never allow fast track on this measure. And the more you talk, the more people you talk to, and the more effective you are in that regard, the better off everybody will be.
I will say, I'm also, too, the purpose of this show is it is a podcast. You can tell people about it. They can access it for the internet, and you can have them hear it for themselves.
Okay, cool.
That is the best propagation is passing around saying you've got to listen to this. It's important.
Right,
yeah.
And Adam's given us a tremendous amount of information on why this is so bad.
Exactly. In other words, I look at it. Okay, not so much for me, you know, but I'm talking about my children, my daughters, and then potential grandchildren that I have is what this is going to affect.
Okay, thank you very
live,
much.
I just want to stress that right after this call, a little bit after this call, at 7:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Pacific, there's going to be a national TPP conference call and webinar about where faith leaders will be talking about how TPP will impact the fight for peace and justice. And on that call, you will actually hear about opportunities possibly in your community and really all over the country where you can find to plug in. If you want to find that, you can go to tradejustice.net/53115 or just go to tradejustice.net and click on the upcoming events tab and you'll find that listed there. I'll say that address again, tradejustice.net/5, basically today's date, 5/31/15. Or just go to tradejustice.net and click the upcoming events tab. Tradejustice.net is our website. And in terms of some of the concrete actions people can take, write a letter to the editor of your newspaper. If there's an article on this topic in your newspaper, write a response. Approach your paper about writing an op-ed. Set up a meeting with your elected official, either in D.C. or in their district office. Get in touch with groups in your community who are concerned about these issues, who might be offer to do a presentation to them or invite them to lobby your elected official with you. Even just drop into your elected official's office and ask to meet with someone. That kind of in-person contact is even more impactful than just writing a letter or making a phone call. But yes, we should write letters, make phone calls, and reach out to anyone we might think would be interested, from faith communities to environmental groups to conservative groups to to groups working on food justice issues, to family farmers, to animal rights groups. Just about everyone is affected by this. And we're happy to give you those resources to help you tell different communities what impact these agreements will have for them. We have resources on the impact these agreements will have for communities of color, how these agreements relate to attacks on LGBT rights, on how these agreements will hurt labor rights and hurt unions. Whatever the issue, we'll make the connection about how, for anti-fracking activists, about how these trade agreements can be used to attack fracking events. There are so many issues that are potentially under threat here, and we're happy to help people find those resources, connect to people in your community. If your legislator has not taken a position, organize a demonstration in front of their office. Let them hold them publicly accountable. Go leaflet at a shopping mall or a train station, and with your legislator's name and picture, and say, why is our representative supporting legislation that will kill U.S. jobs and will hurt our environment and will attack our Constitution? Hold them accountable. Make them answer these questions. Again, our website is tradejustice.net. You can find out more about many of these issues and actions that you can take. For people who want to find out more about how these trade agreements will affect the environment and our food and animal welfare, a great site to look at is gjae.org. That's the website of Global Justice for Animals and the Environment. For folks on the conservative side of the spectrum or who want to reach out to conservatives, there's a website called obamashredstheconstitution.blogspot.com. There's a site, obamatrade.com, and another one, endglobalgovernance.com. Again, this is not a left or right issue. This is an issue of protecting our sovereignty and protecting the Constitution. And so, people who, there aren't too many issues where you have Bernie Sanders and Rush Limbaugh on the same side of an issue, but this is one of them.
Yeah.
This is that strange issue where people who never agree find something to agree on. There's probably some things in this world that everyone would agree are bad. I think the planet being hit by a comet, I think we all would say would be a bad idea. So maybe this is one of those things that just almost go beyond ideology to the point where almost everyone can recognize this is terrible, unless, maybe you're a lobbyist for Monsanto.
And thanks for your interest, April, and keep listening and keep checking up on this stuff. It's very important, as you know.
Yeah, and what is, I don't know if I even want to know, but what is the timeline about for this, or is it hard to know?
They're trying to rush it through as fast as they can.
Okay,
right.
I see.
That's right. Once they can get the votes in the House, that's when they're going to, they'll move this as soon as they get those votes. Right now, they don't have enough votes to pass this, and so that's why they haven't moved the vote. If they could get the vote, they'd move it tomorrow. I mean, they'd begin the process of pushing.
Now's the time to start lobbying your congressperson really hard and letting them know in no uncertain terms, no fast track, no TPP, no trade arrangements, period.
This is an issue you'll vote on. They want to know what'll get your vote or what'll lose your vote. It's this issue. The AFL-CIO has said that they will not provide campaign funds for anyone who supports Fast Track, for anyone who doesn't come out against Fast Track. That's a policy statement, and that needs to be reiterated by the voters. They need to get they keep track of these calls. They keep track of how many they get on each side. And they know the public is going to be against this. It's really a question of tallying, is there enough public opposition that they can get away with selling out the public interest? Basically, how many people know about it? How many people know about this, and how many people will hold them accountable? So if they get enough calls, it's not if the people who have not come out against this yet, quite frankly, haven't come out again, they're basically trying to figure out, can we get away with selling out or not? So we need to make sure that the answer to them is no.
Okay.
You can't. Not if you want to stay in office.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks. I'll get to work, and thanks for talking on this.
Yeah, thanks for your activism, April. We really appreciate it.
You too.
And everybody in this broadcast area appreciates your efforts too. So keep it up, be undaunting, and keep at it.
Okay, thank you.
Keep pushing forward, honey. Thank you.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye bye.
For anyone who wants to reach us that is not on the internet, you can call us at 718-218-4523. And also for the internet free folks, if you want to join that conference call and webinar I mentioned, you can call. You don't have to go on the internet. I mean, it's better if you do because you'll see the slides and the chat box, and there's a lot of added features. But if you can't do that, you can just join the call by calling 605-562-3140. access code 95114 #. I'll read that again. 605-562-3140, 95114 #. Maybe we can do that again at the end of the show. I should probably always at the beginning of these shows tell people to get a pen and paper because you may need it. But
yeah.
Hopefully some people have one handy.
We'll make sure that it gets read again at the end here.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes.
Would you, Adam, reiterate about June 3rd?
Say it again?
Reiterate about June 3rd and calling in.
Absolutely. That June 3rd is a national call-in day to stop Fast Track, and this is something that organizations from a wide range of organizations are participating in, environmental groups, labor rights groups, food justice groups are all taking this one day to make phones ring off the hook in congressional offices. If people want a flyer in your communities, we can send you a flyer that you can distribute to let people know about this call-in day. There, you can find out about it online at our website. We'll be putting up an announcement about it by tomorrow morning. And everyone needs to call their elected officials. And again, the message is no fast track, no excuses. No matter what they do to this legislation, there's no acceptable form. And saying we're waiting to see what the final bill looks like, that is not an acceptable answer. That is absolutely not an acceptable answer. There is no good form of fast track. There is no bells and whistles that can be put on fast track that would make this agreement would make fast track acceptable. Again, you can find out who represents you in Congress by going to, on the web, clicktocallcongress.org. That's clicktocallcongress.org. Or if you, again, are not on the internet but want to reach us, you can want to find out, you can call out us and we would be happy to let you know. We're at 718-218-4523. That is 718-218-4523. You don't have to worry about being an expert on this. Just let them know that you oppose Fast Track and you want them to oppose Fast Track, that you want them to commit to do that publicly and you want them to put it in writing and that you want them to send you what they put in writing. And so give them your name and your full address and then tell them that you want them to email you or mail you, email faster, so if you can do email after email, a statement with their position on this issue because we need to get them to commit to that. And you can actually, you can write, go to your newspaper and offer an op-ed asking why Representative so-and-so has not come out against Fast Track or worse, is even supporting Fast Track. Get on your elected officials' email list. They'll send out both, some of them have an email list for their electoral campaigns and also for their congressional office. You can get on both lists and you'll hear about fundraisers and town hall meetings and other events. And show up at those meetings and publicly pose those questions. Or if they're on the wrong side of this, protest those events. We need to hold them accountable in person, in front of the media, in front of their supporters, in front of their funders, in front of their constituents, and ask them why they are standing with the corporations and not with the public, or why they haven't announced a position on legislation that there's no excuse to not have announced a position on. There is no form of fast track that is acceptable, period.
Great.
June 3rd is the big day, everybody. June 3rd, you've got to call your congresspersons and raise hell and let them know no to fast track, no to any further trade agreements, TPP or transatlantic
TTIP.
One again?
That's TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which people sometimes also call TAFTA, which is short for the Transatlantic Free Trade Agreement. That was an older name that people sometimes still use to remind people that this is basically a repackaging of NAFTA. People call it
right.
NAFTA on steroids.
Right,
so
exactly.
You can call
yeah.
it TTIP or so among activist circles, it's often called TAFTA, but the official name of it is TTIP.
Yeah. We've got to say no to all this stuff. It's bad for humanity.
Absolutely.
And also, too, if for the citizens of the 1st District of Maryland, where my home still is, the corporate stooge, Andy Harris, who went up against, who was a good Republican, moderate Republican, Wayne Gilchrist, be sure and give him a call. I don't know if it'll help because he is so deep with his head stuck up the pookas of corporates, a derriere, that no matter how many calls you do, but still, call and try to make the effort.
Sorry, go ahead.
Adam, we only have about 5 minutes or 4 minutes left. So can you reiterate all the contact points and what's coming up?
Absolutely. So again, tonight, in just about half an hour, there's going to be a national conference call where you can learn more about this issue and find out about actions you can take. There'll be experts from faith communities. There'll be representatives of groups like Public Citizens, Global Trade Watch, who will be telling you about some of the upcoming actions and ways you can plug in. You'll hear about recent actions, see images from recent activities that people have taken that can inspire you to action in your community. To find that, you can go to tradejustice.net and just click the upcoming events tab on the left side, or just go to tradejustice.net/53115. And remember, that sounds like a bunch of numbers, but remember, that's just the date. May 31st, 2015, 53115. If you are not online but want to listen in, you can do that by calling 605-562-3140, access code 951146 pound. That's 605-562-3140, 951146 pound. And there will be opportunities for people to ask questions. This is an interactive call. For people who want to contact our organization, you can go to tradejustice.net or call us at 718-218-4523. If you want flyers or petitions to use in your community, we have form letters that you can print and get people to sign and mail to us. We have flyers on a range of issues relating to these trade agreements. We have materials in English and Spanish. You can go to tradejustice.net and click the publications link on the left side. Lots of background information there that you can access. For people who want information on how TPP and these other agreements will affect the environment and animals and food safety and our efforts to protect safe and sustainable food and will affect the human rights of environmental defenders, you can go to gjae.org. That's GJAE, short for Global Justice for Animals and the Environment.org. And for people who want to understand better some of the conservative arguments against these trade agreements, you can go to obamashredsthe constitution.blogspot.com or endglobalgovernance.com or obamatrade.com. So those are, if you're the first few sites are more sort of general interest or environmental and progressive, and the latter sites are conservative. And because we need both Republican votes and Democratic votes to stop Fast Track, it is important that we present legislators in both parties with the arguments that will speak to them and to the constituents that they are answerable to when they're not just outright answering to the corporations. And by doing that, by getting the word out, by holding our elected officials accountable, by breaking through the media silence, by taking to the streets with protests, by leafleting at train stations and malls and other crowded places, by holding protests and street theater and potentially even nonviolent civil disobedience to hold our elected officials accountable, by writing those op-eds in the newspapers, and by getting those calls and visit into our legislators and visits to their office, we can stop Fast Track. Fast Track was stopped in 1999. Fast Track has not been in effect since 2007. It is not a done deal. We were successful through grassroots action in stopping the multilateral agreement on investment, a massive global investment agreement. We're able to stop through grassroots action throughout the hemisphere, the free trade area of the Americas. The reason they are keeping this negotiation secret is because we have a track record of stopping them on these massive deals.
We stop them on net neutrality, too.
So we need to get the word out so they can't do it, and we can stop them.
And June 3rd is next Wednesday, everybody.
Right. Adam, I want to thank you so much. We've only got a few seconds left. Thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank
you for your activism, Adam.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to do it again anytime. And thanks for helping get the word out. And to your listeners, let's stop Fast Track and let's win. Protect the Constitution, protect human rights, protect our planet, and don't let the corporations win.
Yay.
Very good, good show, Gwen.
Yep. Keep pushing forward, everybody.
Absolutely.
June 3rd.
Tell your friends.
Call your congressmen, congress people. Thank you, Adam. Going to check you out.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Adam. And thank you, listeners. And let's stop TPP.
Very good. Good night, all.
Good night.
This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, June 3rd, please click
away.
Click to call your congress.org. Get the numbers you need. All righty. Good night, Jack.
Good night, Gwen. Keep up the good work.
You too.
See you in a couple weeks.
Okay, enjoy baseball.
Yep, will do. Bye-bye now.